I read a blog post the other day that caught my attention. Title was 11 Secrets to Living Your Best Life. And it started like this. Life is supposed to be good and we are meant to be happy. But if that is true, why are so many people still settling for a life that is less than they desire? My opinion, we're looking for happiness in all the wrong places. At least that is what I was doing. Over the past 10 years, I've had my fair share of struggles. After years of trial and error, I found 11 key ingredients that, when combined, helped me to live my best life from the inside out. I mean, that sounds pretty compelling, right? Which of us doesn't want to live our best life, isn't interested in learning, discovering how to live our best life? Here are some of the suggestions listed in this post. Do what you want. Stay in your own lane. Always assume that things are working out. Speak your truth. Practice sacred self-love. Let it go. Cue the music. Learn to forgive. You know, as I was reading through these, a couple of things struck me. One is that, I mean, some of this stuff is pretty good. I mean, which of us wouldn't benefit from learning better how to forgive others? But the other thing that I noticed or occurred to me as I read through this article and others like it is that a lot of these authors assume that the secret to living our best life is ultimately something that we can find deep inside of ourselves. And all that we really need to do is simply figure out how to unleash that. Do what you want. Speak your truth. Practice sacred self love. Now, I think what they are trying to do is admirable. I think that many of them probably truly believe what they're writing about. I'm going to guess that most of them genuinely want to help others also live their best life, to find success in this world. But one of the things that I've learned is that the secret to living our best life, instead of being found inside of ourselves, is actually found outside of ourselves. And the Bible tells us where. The Bible, this incredible book that best makes sense of this world that we live in, of the world as it actually is, in all of its beauty, but also in all of its brokenness. The Bible, which tells us, which shows us the secret to living our best life. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're in the midst of a series from the book of Psalms. The Psalms are a collection of 150 poetic songs and prayers that teach us about God and about ourselves and about how to best live in this beautiful but broken world. And there are several different kinds of psalms, and over our series, we've looked at psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of praise, royal psalms and Torah psalms, psalms of lament. Today, we're going to look at another kind of psalm, a psalm of wisdom or a wisdom psalm. These psalms, more than ever, more than all the others, explain to us how best to live in this beautiful but broken world that we find ourselves in. So this morning, we're going to look at a wisdom psalm. And as we do that, we are going to learn the secret. We're going to discover the secret to living our best life. And as we do that, along the way, we'll reflect on perhaps an objection that may come up, that what the psalmist has to say here is perhaps may feel like it is simply too good to be true. So if you would, join me by opening your Bible to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. If you don't have your own Bible, grab one of the red Bibles in front of you. And we're on page 952 in the red Bible, Psalm 112. And we are going to learn how to live our best lives. But before I get to the big secret, the big reveal, let me point out a couple of things about this psalm that at least those of you who are Bible nerds will be able to appreciate or will appreciate. The first thing is that this psalm is actually given to us in the form of an acrostic. This would be obvious to you if your Bible was written in Hebrew, like it originally was, or the Old Testament was, or if you could read Hebrew. Not counting the initial first line, where it says, "Praise the Lord," this psalm here has 22 lines, each of which starts with a successive letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which also has 22 letters. Second thing is that this psalm, that's kind of interesting, is that this psalm is linked to the psalm that comes right before it. Not only do they start with the same phrase, this psalm that Carla read for our scripture reading, Psalm 111, Psalm 111 is also an acrostic psalm of 22 lines, each corresponding to a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And in fact, thematically, they fit together really well. One flows into the other. Psalm 111 is a psalm all about God. Psalm 112 is a psalm about the godly person. And so as one commentator suggests, that probably part of what the psalmist was thinking here, or wanting to remind us or teach us if we were to sit back and to meditate on this, he's showing us that we will become whatever it is, or we will become like whatever it is that we worship. If we worship God, we will become a godly person. You worship something else, you'll become like that. But anyway, back to the topic at hand. The secret to living our best life. Now, we don't need to read very far into this psalm to discover the secret. Psalmist actually gives it to us right up front. Look at verse 1. "Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands." So this secret is pretty simple, actually. It may not be easy. The psalmist is not complaining, or is not trying to tell us that this is going to be easy necessarily, but it is pretty simple. According to the psalmist, the secret to living our best life has two parts: fearing the Lord and delighting in his commands. Now, the fear of the Lord can be a complicated thing to adequately explain. It's not really a command that we're supposed to be afraid of God. He's certainly no monster that we're supposed to be terrified of. But on the other hand, he's not exactly our buddy. He's not someone that we are supposed to relate to real casually. Because he is the Lord. He's Yahweh. He's the uncreated creator. He is the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. As we saw last week, as we looked at Psalm 113, he is the one exalted over all the nations. He has glory that is above, that is greater than the heavens. There is no one like the Lord our God. He is the one who sits enthroned on high. And so our attitude towards God, our response to him, should reflect that we believe these things about God to be true. And so to fear the Lord is to have a sincere reverence for God, to have a healthy respect for his power and authority, to have an appropriate sense of awe that reflects the true nature of his glory, of his holiness, of his goodness, as shown to us in the Bible. Sometimes it's described as having a real sense of the weightiness of God. To fear the Lord is to recognize that he is not someone to be trifled with. He's not someone to be spoken of or to in a flippant manner. He is someone whose words and deeds and presence are to be taken very, very seriously. The first part of the secret to living your best life is to adopt or to develop an appropriate fear of the Lord. Second part of the secret to living your best life is to delight in the Lord's commands. Now, I think there's a reasonably clear logical connection between fearing the Lord and delighting in his commands. I mean, anyone who truly fears the Lord is also going to obey whatever it is that the Lord commands us to do. You're not really doing the first if you're not doing the second. But notice that the psalmist here does more than just tell us that we should obey the Lord's commands. He tells us that the secret to living our best life is found in delighting in his commands. And this, I think, is an important aspect of faith that sometimes gets overlooked. See, faith is not just believing that God is real, that he exists. Faith also involves trusting that God's way of living is also the best way to live. That the standards and ethics and priorities that he gives us in the scriptures are not just the right way to live, but that they are the very best way for us to live. They represent the secret to living our best life. Best for our well-being, our happiness, our health, our thriving in the world, but also best for our family, for our church, for our community, for our nation, for our world. You know, and sometimes, I mean, sometimes this is just really easy to see. The command to love, to help others, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to believe that those commands are not just right, but that they're also good. But there are other commands where their goodness may not be quite as obvious to all of us. I mean, things like the goodness of Jesus' sexual ethic that restricts sexual expression to lifelong heterosexual marriage. I mean, I don't need to tell you this, but we live in a culture that laughs at, sometimes even openly mocks this idea. And so it can be a real act of faith to trust that God's command to us in this is not just right, but that it's actually also good. Or maybe the command that talks about the goodness of loving our enemies, including even those who would persecute us. Or maybe it's hard for us to see the goodness of helping the poor, the fatherless, the foreigner, especially when it's inconvenient and costly to us. I mean, I could go on. I'm sure I could come up with other examples, but I think you get the point. Sometimes the commands of God don't feel particularly good. But part of faith is trusting that his commands are not only right, but that they are actually also the best way to live. So what is the secret to you living your best life? Fear the Lord and delight in his commands, because you're trusting that his way is the best way to live. Having now given us the secret to living our best life, the psalmist now describes some of the blessings that come to those who fear the Lord and delight in his commands. Let's look at the text. Verse 2. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. So here the psalmist is describing some of the results, some of the blessings that come to those who fear the Lord and who do delight in his commands. He describes families that thrive in verse 2. The picture here is of children who are following in the faith of their parents, who are growing up to be healthy and productive members of their community. In verse 3, the psalmist describes financial success. He says that those who fear the Lord and delight in his commands accumulate wealth. They experience financial stability. In verse 4, the psalmist describes a third blessing, a third result, and that is that there will be hope, hope even in dark times, hope that things will get better. So these are all things that the psalmist suggests will come to those who fear the Lord and delight in his commands. One of the things that I find so interesting about these particularly blessings, thriving families, financial success, resilient hope, is that they're not really much different than the results promised by all the blogs and magazine articles and books that are written on how we can live our best lives. But see, what sets the psalmist apart from all these other writers is the secret to getting there. And I think we have a tendency to assume, and it's what most of these writers suggest, that the answers to living our best life can actually be found inside of us. Success comes to those who get to do what it is that they want to be able to do. Success comes to those who get to decide for themselves who they are, who get to live and to speak their own truth. But all that is very different than the secret to living our best life that we find here in the Bible. Because the Bible tells us that the secret is fearing the Lord and delighting in his commands. Then as the psalmist continues, he describes what living our best life looks like, especially in relation to others. Go back to verse 4. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. He's basically saying here that those who fear the Lord, that those who delight in his commands, these people are good neighbors. They're good friends. They're good citizens. These are people who are gracious and compassionate. These are people who are committed to doing what is right. These are people who are generous and they lend freely. They conduct their business, both private and public, with fairness and justice. Because this is what fearing the Lord and delighting his commands actually looks like. So how are you doing with all this? Does it sound good? Probably. Does it sound true? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe there is a part of you, like there is a part of me, that's thinking, hold on. I'm not sure that life is actually that simple. I'm not sure that things actually always work out quite like the psalmist seems to be claiming here. I mean, after all, sometimes people who fear the Lord and delight in his commands may still have children who really struggle. Sometimes who walk away from the Lord. Sometimes people who fear the Lord and delight in his commands don't experience financial success. Sometimes they struggle to make ends meet, even find themselves impoverished. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes things don't work out as well as the psalmist appears to promise here. And so let's consider that objection, that life doesn't always work this way. Do you know what the Bible says to that? Do you? It says, you're right. part of the reason why the book of Job, the book of Ecclesiastes, is part of our Old Testament. The book of Psalms is part of the Bible that's known as wisdom literature. Many of the books that make up the wisdom literature, books like Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, they present us with a simplified but not naive view of the world. They describe not how things will always work, but how things generally work in the world. I mean, hard work generally brings success. Faithful loyalty to people generally produces strong friendships. Persistent laziness generally leads to business failure. These things are generally, but not always, true. And similarly, those who faithfully fear the Lord and delight in his commands generally, but not always, experience all the blessings of having families that thrive in financial success and stability. That is generally true. It is true more times than it is false. And in fact, it would be much more true if it were not for the fact that the world that we actually live in, while very beautiful and good in many, many ways, is also fundamentally broken. And the psalmist here is not naive. In fact, he's very aware of the brokenness in this world. And in fact, he assumes this brokenness in the final portion of the psalm as he continues to describe the character and the life experience of the person who is living the best life in this beautiful but broken world, who fears the Lord and delights in his commands. So let's look at it. Verse 6. Psalmist writes, "Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look on triumph in their foes. They freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor." Do you see here how the psalmist has acknowledged the brokenness in the world? Verse 7 there, it assumes that those who fear the Lord will at times receive bad news. Verse 8 assumes that those who fear the Lord will sometimes be confronted with foes. What is promised to those who fear the Lord and obey his commands is not better news, but instead a steady heart. What is promised is not freedom from foes, but rather a reason not to fear, even when they come. What is the secret? Fearing the Lord and delighting in his commands. The psalmist here closes out this psalm by contrasting the experience of those who fear the Lord with that of the wicked. Verse 10, "The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing." So those who fear in the Lord and delight in his commands, they're going to be steady and unafraid, even in the face of bad news and foes. But the wicked, those who do not fear the Lord and to take no delight in his commands, they will waste away and come to nothing. There are a lot of ways that we can live our lives. There are a lot of ways that we can try and pursue living our best life in this world. But there is only one way that works best in this world as it actually is, in all of its beauty and all of its brokenness. As the psalmist tells us here, our best life is found in fearing the Lord and in delighting in his commands. As we read psalms like this, as we read and study and meditate on the portions of the Bible that make up the wisdom literature, it is really important that we recognize that they are presenting us with a simplified but not naive view of the world. In the wisdom, the secrets that they offer to us, they are true and they are trustworthy and they are worthy of us pursuing with our lives. But we need to recognize that they are not promises. They are not 100% guarantees. Because the world that we are living in is fundamentally broken. And it's going to remain that way until Jesus comes back and finally and forever fixes it. But until then, the wisdom that the psalmist, that other biblical writers present to us, do represent the very best way for us to live in this beautiful, broken world. As we wait for Jesus to come back, the secret to living our best life, here and now, is to fear the Lord and to delight in his commands. Worship team, would you come up as I close us in prayer? Father, we thank you for giving us the Bible, this amazing book that's full of truth, that's full of facts, but also that's full of great wisdom. Thank you for a Bible that is full of all different types of literature, that is rich and full, that there's always more that we can learn from as we study it, as it's preached, as it's taught, as we meditate on it, as we discuss it amongst each other. We thank you for the ways in which you use the Holy Spirit, both inside of us and in our community, to continue to teach us, to challenge us with all that Scripture teaches us. Father, we want to live our best lives. And there are certainly many voices out there that are claiming to know the way that we can find our best life, different secrets to living our best life. But as followers of Jesus, I pray that you would remind us, that we would see again and again, that it is in the Bible, it is outside of us and in the Bible, ultimately in you, that we find the secret to living our best life, that it is through relationship with you and through trusting not only in the rightness but also in the goodness of all the commands you've given us. Father, help us to live that way, that we would be pleasing and honoring to you, that we would be examples of goodness and righteousness and grace and generosity in our communities and our families. Father, that our conduct, that our pursuit of living the best life would be lives that give great testimony to the truth and the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.